Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me for another podcast. My name is Patty. The shop is Herbs to Your Health. You can go to the website to send me an email. It's www.herbstoyourhealth.net. Someone emailed me recently and said, I saw an ad for your shop and I'd like to come in. Very interesting. In over 40 years, we've never had any print advertising. So yes, you're all welcome. Our address is 106 South Pennsylvania Avenue in Greensburg. And our phone number is 724-836-7440. We had a miraculous success story. A 64-year-old woman, really, really frightened, consistently high blood pressure, like in the range of 190 over 100. She's not a consistent supplement taker. She came in for a supplement program, and she took them for, I'm gonna say, like a week. And I reminded her of the breathing technique that we call the square breathing technique. So if you're not familiar with it, you pick a count, 5, 7, 10, whatever slow count you want to choose. And you imagine in your mind's eye that you're making a square. So you breathe in to that count, you hold it to that count, you make the right angle. You breathe out and you make the parallel line to the top, and then you stop, no breath, same count, close the square, and then continue on your breathing. Now her blood pressure is consistently 117 over 77, which is, to me, the top number seems a little low, but it's okay. According to the medical profession, they want everybody at 120 over 70. So ridiculous, I say. The supplements she added to her program were CoQ10, Super Supplementals, and NutriCalm. Another person got a compass. Only two products showed up, St. John's Wort and Trigger Immune. Person had anxiety, not depression, but said that St. John's Wort worked great within a few days. So we'll just add that to our memory banks of things that work if you have anxiety. Really, I've known it for depression, and it's not even all that popular here at the shop. Anyway, in the 90s, medical journals published results involving almost 2,000 outpatients with mild to moderately severe depressive disorders, and the review confirmed that St. John's Wort is equally effective as standard antidepressant drugs, but with zero negative terrible effects. In Germany, doctors prescribe 20 times more St. John's Wort than Prozac, so they're allowed to do that. There has been extensive research in an effort to ascertain how St. John's Wort works. It has it increases serotonin and other neurotransmitters. The current theory now suggests that St. John's Wort prevents the reuptake of serotonin in much the same way as prescription antidepressants. The active ingredient in it is hypersin. It's the active constituent. So many studies and trials, etc. It benefits people suffering from insomnia and fibromyalgia, and it is really kind of good for anxiety as well. According to legends surrounding St. John's Wort, it was espoused by St. John of Jerusalem, who is said to have used it at the time of the Crusades as a battlefield balm for its abilities to clean and heal some terrible battle wounds. That's kind of sad. It's said to have worked so well that legends are built around it. In accordance with the legend of wound healing, okay, we say that it can be very beneficial in healing wounds. It has been used in cases of leg ulcers that nothing heals. It reduces inflammation in septic sores. So that compound, hypericin, was isolated in 1942, and it's a type of tranquilizer. It brings in the light. I remember this. It's so you don't go out in the sunlight, I guess, because it brings, it's photosensitizing. But it does have this sedative effect. It's really good for chronic fatigue syndrome, mental burnout. It's good for the control of viral infections, bladder trouble, dysentery, anxiety. It dissolves and removes tumors. It's an excellent blood cleanser and blood purifier. It relieves phlegm obstructions in the chest and lungs. It's beneficial for bronchitis. Talk about an herb being used off-label, right? Very valuable for internal bleeding. And it contains an alkaloid that is beneficial for the heart and the arteries. So that's all really good news. Moving on. When people come into the shop and say, what works for XYZ disease label? In this case, insomnia, woman came in. I honestly can't say what would work for that particular person because I haven't done a consultation. But I'm happy to tell you what has worked for other people. They either get mad because I'm not telling them what would work for them. So, you know, you're welcome to get a consultation. I will tell you what will work for you. But, or another reaction is they start adding all of their other disease labels and all of the pharmaceuticals they're taking for their other disease labels. So, and then they go back to, well, what will work for me for insomnia? Honestly, I don't know. I can't do that. I call that herbal malpractice. Have you ever heard of this thing called, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it looks like Chagas disease? I hadn't heard of it. Somebody asked me about it. I searched it. It's an incurable heart condition or problem caused by parasites. So I'll tell you, you know, in 2023, if you are still believing that you could get some parasites that'll affect your heart, which I know people believe that because, you know, if it's widely circulated or it's on TV or, I don't know, maybe it was on the evening news, which I do not watch. So we don't need to have, well, we do have many bugs crawling around us deep inside our digestive tracts. In fact, each of us has 70 trillion of these weighing in at about 3 to 4 pounds. Some of these are good bugs, some are not so good bugs. We don't want the not so good bugs in our bodies. So the bad bugs, all sorts of things from bacteria to yeast to parasites, It sounds kind of disgusting, but many people, I'd say most of us, most people walk around without knowing they're even there. For the most part, you know, if you have a strong immune system, for which it's imperative that you take immune stimulator every day and vitamin C entering Silver Shield to support the immune system, then it is able to keep the bad bugs in check. However, some of those bugs go through a dangerous mutation that makes them wildly aggressive, destructive, and hell-bent on wreaking havoc throughout your entire body. It's Candida is one of those bugs. Candida albicans. It is very, very destructive. So many people have yeast overgrowth. And then they take antibiotics. And then it kills the good bacteria. And then it's a vicious cycle. I don't know if you've heard people have these stories, but you know, yeast overgrowth can cause minor symptoms such as rashes, bad breath, you know, a coating on the tongue, a white coating, which means it's gotten into your mouth. And it could cause irritable bowel syndrome, joint pain, even chronic fatigue syndrome. The calling card for a yeast overgrowth problem seems like it's a whole bucket full of seemingly unexplained chronic symptoms that just won't go away. Well, they will go away if you come to Herbs to Your Health. there are doctors who prescribe, what is that drug called? Diflucan or something like that. That is a seriously nasty drug. Many people who I've known to have taken it got sick from that. So, you know, we don't really need those. So those little yeast critters are a crafty bunch, part animal, part plant, part bacteria. They're able to reproduce by themselves. They shape-shift and take many different forms while rearranging chromosomes as an adaptive strategy to ensure survival. It's amazing. No wonder it's so hard to get rid of a yeast infection. Candida, found in its normal, simple, and relatively harmless yeast form, looks like a small white egg with a relatively consistent, smooth shape, living happily in your gut, essentially keeping to itself, feeding off the food you eat. And it's perfectly normal to have some, but it can transform into a monstrous super fungus that rapidly multiplies. You know, it's homeostasis. This is what the body's always looking for: balance, equilibrium, homeostasis. So everything needs to be in the right place in the body. Anyway, yeast can rapidly multiply. It loves sugar. It can double the size of its colony in less than an hour. And if you've ever baked bread and, you know, you dissolve the yeast in water and add a little bit of sugar and you can see, wow, it just goes to town. So, but you cannot get a yeast infection by eating yeast. This is a misunderstanding that people have. And even on the boxes of things like Paracleanse, or I think it is only on Paracleanse, they tell you not to eat yeast-containing food. So I guess that perpetuates that. If you have a yeast infection, it's really just the canary in the coal mine, and it signifies that something much more dangerous and insidious is going on inside your body. It's like a broken sidewalk in your stomach. It can make you it raises your blood, it really bad cases can raise your blood alcohol level just as if you were drinking alcohol. Red blood cells find it difficult to flow into small capillaries, which can result in fatigue, migraines, and muscle aches. And then white blood cells have difficulty fighting infection, which can result in allergies, rashes, slowing of the healing process, or gas and bloating. So to get to the root of it, well, the reason yeast infections develop is because the body is out of balance in some way. Somehow the immune system has been compromised. One really very hint and a half is that you don't have enough good bacteria in your gut. So we want to just rebalance what is out of balance and restore the body's innate immune capacity. One of the things we can do is take yeast and fungal detox. Another one, Artemisia, is a great antiparasitic. It is very, very mild. I wouldn't give it to children though, but I would give black walnut. It comes in an extract, liquid extract. Black walnut is okay to give to kids and it's okay to give to yourself. Yeast and fungal detox inhibits the growth, the overgrowth of candida and other forms of yeast. Several of its ingredients also help rebuild an immune system that has been weakened due to yeast overgrowth. Oregano is in there. It's, I know so many people who believe in the essential oil of oregano because it's been widely promoted for yeast infections. It is a strong antifungal. I do not recommend ingesting the pure essential oil. For internal use, I say use the oregano herb, which is found in this formula. It's a much better choice. It's a completely safe antiseptic and antifungal. Oregano herb not only helps control yeast overgrowth, it also stimulates digestive function and expels excess mucus from the lungs. Garlic is nature's penicillin because of its ability to combat bacterial infections. It helps your immune system, unlike chemical antibiotics. Garlic kills harmful bacteria but does not cause yeast overgrowth. Instead, it inhibits viral and yeast infections. And if you're eating raw garlic, you have to kind of like crush it with your teeth or, crush it. Just, I like to chew it. People think I'm crazy. But I always drink liquid chlorophyll after eating garlic because nobody will be the wiser because I don't smell like garlic. Pod d'arco is an herb from the Amazon rainforest and it is a very effective antifungal agent. It was originally thought to be directly antifungal, but more recent research shows that it works by stimulating the immune system. It's not only helpful for yeast infections, it can also be useful for bacterial and viral infections as well as parasites and cancer. That is another very mild antiparasitic. It is a blood purifier, which means it helps to remove toxins from the fluids of the blood. Also, yeast fungal detox has echinacea, which is, Pod d'arco, by the way, is also known as Tehebo. Those are the names of the trees. And the trees have, even though it's a rainforest, it's really damp and kind of dark in those places where the sunlight doesn't hit. Those trees don't have any fungus or, whatever on them. Echinacea is also known as purple coneflower. It's widely recognized for its ability to stimulate the immune system and inhibit the spread of infection. It overcomes sluggish lymphatic function, also helps remove toxins from the blood, which is particularly important when dealing with yeast die-off. It also has other non-herbal antifungals. One of these is caprylic acid, which comes from coconuts, which kills yeast in phase one of its growth. And minerals, it's non-herbal because it's a mineral. Selenium and zinc are absolutely critical to immune function. So if you really want to control yeast and parasites, etc., please take your probiotic 11 or 11 elevated with it. Oregano is an essential component of Greek and Italian cuisines, and I guess my kitchen. It's native to Europe, the Mediterranean, and parts of Asia. You can find it in tomato sauces and vegetables, and it's aromatic, warm, and slightly bitter. It's a member of the mint family. It's anti-spasmodic stimulant. It really helps with the stomach. It's in modern times, it's used primarily for its antiseptic, antifungal, and antiparasitic properties. You know, it's in seasonal defense because it's also very helpful for respiratory infections or to head them off at the pass so you don't get a respiratory infection. But the most popular use by far is for yeast and fungal infections. There is ample scientific evidence to back up the use of oregano for parasitic or yeast or fungal infections and bacterial infections. We have the essential oil of wild oregano, but you can use this topically, so it can be massaged into the skin with a carrier oil, if you know anything about essential oils. So when it comes right down to it, the candidate organisms themselves are not the real problem. But you know why? Because we all have it in our bodies. It's a normal part of the body's friendly flora. That's one reason why medical people have been slow to accept the idea that yeast overgrowth is a thing in the intestines. They say everybody has some yeast, so how could it be harmful? Yeast and fungal infections aren't caused by eating foods containing yeast or fungi because yeast are always present as part of the friendly flora. What makes yeast a problem is when the biological terrain of your body gets altered to allow for yeast overgrowth. In other words, when the body becomes weakened and out of balance, the yeast multiply out of control and become a problem. So what are the factors that alter the biological terrain and result in yeast overgrowth? Number one factor is the widespread use of antibiotics. So if you've ever taken an antibiotic in your life, you have messed up your gut flora. And if you're like the man who is, I think he's 70 years old now, he has chronic sinus infections. He takes 4 antibiotic prescriptions, rounds of antibiotics a year, 4 a year, one a season. So if you're not doing anything to rebuild your gut bacteria, your body's having a hard time. You know, the first antibiotics are made from yeast. The first antibiotic, penicillin, was created from a soil fungus. There are many types of antibiotics. Not all of them are derived from fungus, but any broad spectrum antibiotic, those that kill many types of bacteria, will knock down the friendly intestinal bacteria, allowing yeast to grow uninhibited in the digestive tract. So widespread incidence of various types of yeast infections, even, you know, toenail fungus or athlete's foot, likely caused by routine overuse of antibiotics. As we know, antibiotics are not effective against viral infections such as cold and flu. So here's the thing. People say, well, yeah, but I took the antibiotics so I wouldn't get bronchitis. Really? There are so many other things that are so much more effective that are found it at Herbs to Your Health. Let's just say, even if you haven't ever taken an antibiotic, which I don't know if there is a person out there who hasn't, but maybe there is. But remember, antibiotics are also routinely fed to chickens, turkeys, dairy cows, and beef cattle, which causes them to end up in the food supply. So you're getting a double whammy if you take it via prescription. All this contributes to the development of antibiotic-resistant strains of bacteria, like those MRSA ones, yeast overgrowth, and it really suppresses the immune function. Antibiotics aren't the only drugs that disrupt the friendly flora of the digestive tract. Antacids, acid blockers, chemotherapy drugs, chemotherapy itself, the injectable chemotherapy, whatever that is, sulfa drugs, because they're just super toxic. What else contributes to the overgrowth of alcohol? Wine or beer, you know, stuff like that. Yeast overgrowth is not caused by natural sugars or foods made with yeast, such as bread or aged cheeses. But alcohol converts to sugars in the body, and it contributes to hypoglycemia, you know. So there's really no safe level of alcohol. I say just skip it. If you think you have a yeast overgrowth, I mean, honestly, Candida Clear is a good program. Silver Shield, if you take that every day. And, of course, I just told you about yeast and fungal detox. Okay, I have to say one more thing, which is about the gentleman in his, two more things. First of all, a 61-year-old feels great, goes and gets tests regularly, you know, wellness checks, et cetera, et cetera. A1C went from 5.5 to 5.2. Only person among the siblings, cousins, family member, very large family, not taking drugs, not diabetic, no high blood pressure, zero pharmaceuticals. Also feels great. So that's a great success story. And a mid-60s man said GABA changed his life. So it is an amino acid, gamma aminobutyric acid, also known as GABA. It's a calming neurotransmitter in the brain. It may be the most abundant neurotransmitter in the brain. Its primary function in the brain is to keep the nerve cells from being trigger happy and overfiring. So if you have low levels of GABA, you may have epilepsy, seizures, schizophrenia, Parkinson's, hyperactivity, shaking. It's manufactured from the amino acid glutamine with the help of vitamin B6. So when you have proper levels of GABA in your brain, it prevents anxiety and increases mental clarity. It has a calming effect, like Valium and Xanax, which are pharmaceutical drugs. But unlike these drugs, it is not addictive, and it doesn't have any nasty effects. Research suggests that GABA can improve sleep cycles and promote more restful sleep. It also helps increase output of human growth hormone, which reduces fat storage, helps to build muscle mass, and tends to provide increased energy and vigor. So GABA Plus is a formula containing GABA in combination with herbs and other amino acids. It's helpful in cases of chronic anxiety and panic attacks and nervousness and attention deficit disorder. It has glutamine, taurine has a protective effect on the brain. And you know where else taurine is? Perfect eyes. Spirulina, which is an algae rich in many nutrients. It has all 8 essential amino acids, high amounts of vitamin A, carotenoids, B vitamins, inositol, chelated minerals, calcium, zinc, potassium, magnesium, vitamin E, omega-3, and over 200 enzymes and trace nutrients. Hey, let's add spirulina to our programs, or super algae. The significant amounts of amino acids in spirulina have been used to improve alertness, energy, and pituitary function. And then passion flower, which is a nervine herb, it is it's a calmative and it's very restoring, but it also works long term to rebuild and replenish. It has the anti-spasmodic effects of feverfew, and he says that it changed his life. So I say congratulations if you found something that really helps. And if you come to Herbs to Your Health, hopefully you will find something that really helps too. Thank you for listening. Bye.